Good, Rob. I'd like to introduce you today to the newest member of the Kissling household. And it's not Bonnie. She is a 7-month-old Maltese. She was a Mother's Day gift to Bonnie, thanks to the supreme efforts of Jessica Kissling to spearhead this top secret and clandestine operation that Bonnie kind of was aware of. So I don't know. I don't know how she was, but we thought we had it, but she suspected. Yes? Yeah, just a second. I'll get him. I want him to see this first. Sorry. Just before Spike, our previous dog, passed away, this is about 6 years ago, we were out in Arizona visiting Dale and Mary, and we met a Maltese named Charlie out there. And at that time, Bonnie declared that if she ever got another dog, it would be a Maltese. Thus, I introduce you to Daisy. Here she is.
She's very scared right now.
Hi, baby.
That's Daisy.
Yeah, a lot of people.
She had her devotions with me this morning, sitting right out here on by the fountain. She's being retrained and trained by Bonnie, much like myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, you can. Okay, kids, you dismissed a junior church. I thought they might want to see little Daisy. I know I did want to see her. She's a good puppy.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, good.
Unless you want to show some tricks that you've taught her or anything. No? Okay. Well, today it's Bonnie's insights and observations in her recent dealings with Daisy that brought the inspiration to this message today entitled Back to Basics, Playing with God. Let me tell you about it, all right? Set the stage. Daisy was not extremely well trained over her first 7 months of her life. You see, she was a gift to an elderly couple, and soon after she was gifted to them, they fell into some health problems. And so she came to us. She wasn't fully potty trained. She does not come to you when called, although she's getting a little bit better at that. So we've been working on that and 100 other things with Daisy. Bonnie has mostly. Well, less than about a week, I think it was less than a week after Daisy was gifted to Bonnie, Bonnie went outside for something. I don't know if she was going to the freezer, get something for lunch. I don't remember what was going on, but she went outside, and Daisy was right at her feet, and she snuck out the door with her, without her leash. Not good, because this is all new to Daisy. And when she's outside, her curiosity just abounds toward anything that she hears or anything that she sees that is further away from her than her immediate surroundings. It's like, you know, the grass is always greener, you know, for us too. That's like it is with her. It's like, oh, what's that I hear? Or what's that I see? Now, Daisy is bonding to Bonnie. She follows her around everywhere, but that day, Daisy caught this rush of freedom, man, and she would not be contained. So first, Bonnie chased her, which was a game for Daisy. So Bonnie thought, all right, I'm not going to catch her that way. I'm not going to chase her anymore. I'll run from her. And so she did, and sure enough, Daisy would run after Bonnie, still playing, and she would not be recaptured. So then, of course, as circumstances would have it, somebody pulled into the recycling bins over here. We're out here in the yard, Bonnie is. And sure enough, Daisy's like, pew, she is off like a shot. And so Bonnie went after her, and then Bonnie and the lady doing the recycling both tried to corral Daisy for quite a while. But that was to no avail. So finally, Bonnie just decided, I'm just going to walk away. And sure enough, Daisy again followed her all the way back to the house. So Bonnie decided, well, I'm just going to go inside. She'll follow me inside. And she did, right up to the door. Held open for her to enter but she would not enter. And as soon as you reached down, she'd scamper off. Little stinker. Now, that whole escapade took more than a half an hour. And finally, Bonnie was able to kind of trap Daisy behind the screen door there at the entrance where Daisy had no escape route but to jump off that about this high stairway entrance. And she was very hesitant to do that. So that gave Bonnie the opportunity to recapture Daisy and keep her safe and cared for. Now, Daisy has since bonded quite a bit more to Bonnie, but that day, Daisy was shall we say, she was very much interested in Bonnie. Daisy wanted to be near to Bonnie. Daisy wanted to play with Bonnie, but Daisy did not want to obey, to give up her perceived freedom to submit to Bonnie's will. You see, Daisy did not trust in Bonnie's care and oversight of her. Daisy was more interested in her desires to do what she wanted to do than in Bonnie's will. And of course, Daisy was very much unaware of the dangers that she faced from strangers or from running across streets, from cars, and also from other dogs that would possibly consider her a nice snack. See, Daisy wanted to be kind of in control of her own freedom. She wanted to play with Bonnie, but she really didn't want to entrust herself to Bonnie. I think you see where I'm going with this. I think there are lots of people who are in that same kind of dynamic with God. They want to play with God. But they refuse to trust in him, to give over their perceived control and freedom to God, to be crucified with Christ, to obey him. Now, Bonnie realized that until Daisy would fully bond and trust in and obey her, that she could never let her off of that leash. So if you came into our home, did she have the leash on right now? Yeah, she has it on all the time, because that makes it easier for you to capture her if you need to. She doesn't let her off the leash. The restriction of that leash actually was the best thing for Daisy. It was necessary for her training. It was necessary for her safety. It was necessary for her building trust. So I want to share with you what Bonnie wrote so insightfully in her journal after that experience in her time with the Lord. She wrote, "I don't want Daisy on a leash. I want her free. But until she has, listen to me now, until she has a change in her heart to trust me enough to obey every word I say, then the only way I can protect her from herself and her own foolishness is the leash. The leash makes her obey my will and therefore keeps her safe. The leash does not give Daisy a new heart toward me, but it does let her know, to some extent, my heart and my will." Did you hear that? That's pretty cool. Daisy needs a change of heart. Daisy needs to love and trust Bonnie fully. Daisy needs to value and love Bonnie more than she does freedom, or at least her own perception of that. And until that change of heart happens, she cannot be free. In fact, Daisy needs to realize that her truest and best freedom is in trusting and obeying Bonnie's will. Folks, that is faith, isn't it? Let's go back to basics. We've looked at the gospel. We have looked at repentance for a number of Sundays. Today, we're going to just kind of begin on the topic of faith. Remember, Jesus preached, Mark 1 and 15, the purpose of God is full, he said. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. This is his first message he ever preached. Repent and believe the good news. We looked at repentance, now belief. Believe, what does it mean to believe? What is it that I am to believe, and how do the do's and don'ts of Christianity interface with believing, with faith? I still think, from talking to people, there's still so much confusion in church people's minds about good works. And while Christianity is certainly not separate from good works, it also does not begin with them. Amen? Good works are the fruit of salvation. They are not its root. So let's call, for the sake of our time today, let's call those good works. Let's call that the law. The law says do this, don't do that kind of thing. And when we do those things and abstain from others, that's good. So let's call it good works. We'll call it the law. And for simplicity, let's summarize the law as the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Now, in our Daisy and Bonnie illustration, Bonnie, of course, is God. Daisy is you and me. And what's the leash? The law. The leash is the law. Romans 5:13 says, before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. So when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, which are these, now these are paraphrased, of course, but number one, no other gods, worship only Yahweh. Number two, don't make images of me. Number three, don't misuse my name. Number four, set apart the Sabbath. Number five, honor your parents. Number six, don't kill. Number seven, don't commit adultery. Number eight, don't steal. Nine, don't lie. And 10, don't covet. The law is like Daisy's leash. Before the law, people were running around, before Moses brought them down from the mount, people were running around doing whatever they wanted. They didn't know the mess they were making. They didn't know the danger they were in. You know, a major theme in the book of Judges, I just finished the book of Judges about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, in my Bible project reading. A major theme in that book is that Israel had become so ignorant of God and of his law that the book repeats and ends this way in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. And that foreshadows, of course, the day that God brings the King of Kings. But in that day, there was no king, no Bonnie, no Jesus, no God, no David, no king. And every man did that which was right. How? In his own eyes. In his own eyes. So in short, they didn't know God. So they didn't know themselves. They didn't know how to treat each other. So in the law, God revealed himself. He gave them a leash. But by the time of the judges, Israel had rejected the law. They had forgotten all about that. Now that leash cannot change our hearts toward God, but it does reveal who he is, his holiness. It reveals about his will. And on the flip side of that, it also reveals our desire to do just the opposite of any restriction. It reveals our rebellion. It reveals our sin. Remember, the leash didn't give Daisy a new heart. The leash reveals that Daisy needs a new heart toward Bonnie. And the law reveals that you and I need a new heart, a new spirit toward God. Now, once Daisy loves and obeys Bonnie, once Daisy trusts Bonnie and values her over her own autonomy, then Daisy won't need a leash. Won't need it. Listen, folks, once you and I love and obey God, once we trust God and value him, and as we continue to grow in that over our own autonomy, then you and I don't need the law because we'll have a new heart towards God. What is it, Galatians 5:23? After listing the fruit of the Spirit, Paul writes, against such things there is what? No law. There's no law. You don't need it when you're walking in the Spirit. The law, the leash, can never give you that new heart. The heart is given to you. The Spirit is given to you when you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell. Titus 3, 4, and 5. He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us through the washing and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously from God, something like that. Titus 3, 4, and 5. Can you obey God by yourself? Can you keep the Ten Commandments? No. Galatians 3, 21. Is the law opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. Listen. For if a law had been given that could impart life, this new heart toward God, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. See, the law, the leash, can never give you a new heart toward God. That's why you need to repent and believe the gospel, like Jesus said. When you repent and believe, God forgives. He sends His Spirit to begin to give you a new heart. Romans 3:28 says, we maintain that a man is justified by faith, apart from observing the law. Romans 7:5, for when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law. Are you hearing me? Aroused by the leash. When you put a dog on a leash at first, what do they want to do? They want to run away. They pull against that leash. The passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. But now by dying to what once bound us, I hear that there. We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. See, when you get a new heart, a new spirit towards God, you don't need the leash anymore. Folks, we need a new heart, not just a leash. Romans 7:14, we know that the law is spiritual. It's from God. It describes the character of God. It tells us what is good and right and just. But here's the problem. I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through what? Through faith. Remember, repent and believe. Believe is the word, it's the verb form, pisteuo, in the Greek, of the noun form for faith, which is pistis. So faith and believe are verb and noun form of the same word. Galatians 3:23 says, remember, by grace are you saved through faith. Galatians says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge, that leash was put in charge to lead us to Christ that we might be justified, made right with God by faith. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. Why is that? Because you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You don't need the leash anymore because you love and trust God. And the circumstances of life that make you doubt. Did you hear Derek's story about that gal that's locked in a freight container and they're going to beat the Bible out of her head? And she does what? Gives thanks. You're just doing your job. You're just doing what you've been told to do, but that's what I'm doing too. Man, what does that trial in her daily life show? It shows the presence of the Spirit of God. And you know what? It shows it to us as we hear that. But you know who else it shows it to? Her. It shows the reality of her faith to her. Can I ask you, have you been born again? Two birthdays, physical one, a spiritual one. Or are you just interested in God? Do you just play with God? But you refuse to trust Him. I know I preach, I try and preach every time to those that know Christ and some to those that don't. Sometimes that varies. Sometimes it's more to the believer and just a little bit challenge to the unbeliever. Sometimes it's more to the unbeliever and just a little bit of challenge to the believer. But I'm really not speaking just to the unbeliever. I'm talking to all of us. What does your life reveal? Do you trust Him? Or do you just play with Him? Because to put your faith in Christ is the only way that you can be given a new heart towards God. And I've seen many that I believe are saved folks that kind of go back to that law thing, you know? And you can kind of tell it. Grace is secondary. Criticism kind of takes the forefront there. And sometimes, you know, that person are just not measuring up. Just not measuring up. Sometimes we as believers need to check in with the gospel and reacquire that new heart towards God and draw near to God again, to His Spirit, and get off the leash. If you still think, and if you still think that you have to clean yourself up, or that Christians are people who believe in God and do good things, a lot, you know how many people think that? Well, he's a Christian, he's a good guy. Wait, Christian equals good guy. Christians are people who believe in God. Satan believes in God, right? If that's the sort of Christianity that you define, you're in danger. You're just talking about the leash there. And the leash just restrains you from killing yourself. It doesn't save you. We need a new heart so that we love God, we love His Word, and we love His people. You know, we keep a leash on Daisy all the time now. Like I said, until she trusts us. The other day, I came in for lunch, and Daisy was there. And so I sat on the floor right there in the kitchen. And I put her on my lap, and I was just petting her and loving her, you know. She's still a little bit timid toward me. I can't imagine why. So I just keep loving on her. So she's sitting on my lap and petting her and loving on her, talking goofy to her. And I went to get up, and I kind of stumbled a bit. You know how that is when you get older, it's harder to get off the floor. You can say amen to that, anybody? Yeah. Well, I was getting up, and I kind of stumbled a bit, and my right foot kind of thumped on the floor like that. Well, that noise really startled her, and she bolted through the doorway into the dining room. I was sitting right by the doorway into the dining room. She went through there and turned the corner toward her little house in there, her little den. Well, I told you, she's got her leash on, right? She drags it around the house. Guess where my foot landed? This happened in an instant. She bolted. She only had that 4-foot of leash. And when that ran out and my foot's on her leash, she turned the corner. Guess what she ran into? The wall. Yeah, just like that. Her momentum propelled her face first into the wall. She hit it pretty hard. As a little dog, I heard a pretty loud clump. I couldn't see around the corner, but I knew what happened. She did a face plant right into the wall. And you know something? She blamed me for that. It took her 2 days to get over that. I'd walk in a room, she'd be going like this. I'm going, it was an accident. Come on. She was afraid of me after that. And that just kind of reminded me of us. You know, maybe some of you have went against God's leash, God's law, and you've been hurt by that, you know? And so you're afraid of God. Not the fear of God in the sense that you are drawn to Him and you fear being away from Him. That's the biblical fear of God. That's how we should be toward Him. But maybe you're afraid of God because you just don't trust Him. Can I encourage you to believe this morning in the goodness of God? John 3:14. Jesus is talking to a real religious guy. He had the law all locked up in his head and heart. But he knew something wasn't right. Because this guy had something he didn't have. This guy, Jesus. And so he came to him. And one of the things Jesus said to Nicodemus, besides telling you the truth, if you're not born again, you ain't seeing the kingdom. He also said this, and he referred to this because he knew Nicodemus knew this. He knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand, being the religious leader that he was. And he said to him, just as Moses, remember this story, Nick? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, the cross, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved that he gave. He gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you've done a face plant into the wall because of the leash, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. The leash can't save you, and it can't give you a new heart toward God. But boy, can that leash hurt you. Amen? Jesus can save you. He can give you a new heart toward God. It's not about the leash. It's about the gospel. That message that God, that triumphantly declared message, that God has conquered sin, death, hell, and shame through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he has begun to reign. When you believe the gospel, God will give you a new heart, and you won't need the leash anymore. And I'm talking both to believers and un right now. Because sometimes we just need to check in and be filled with that Spirit again and get our minds right. But if you've never had that experience of that new heart, of that life-giving Spirit and the forgiveness of Christ, I'm telling you, you can go to this church till the day you die. And you'll die. Because until then, you're just going to keep playing with God. Let's not play with God. Let's love and trust him. Let's pray. Father God, you are good. I just look at this story. I've read through the Bible so many times now, and every time it just feeds my soul to see how you worked in people's lives and hearts through the people of Israel. And even as I read here this morning about David, 2 Samuel, and the repercussions of his sin. Here was a man after God's own heart that committed murder. Lord, we just continue to desperately need your grace. He didn't have the resources we have. We know about the cross. We know about the king. We know about the kingdom. We know about the leash. We know what the law is in the context of the gospel. We know about the Holy Spirit, the comforter, our paraclete that you sent, that you promised would teach us all things. Yet we still struggle to find time to even read your word. It's boring to us. That's not about you, that's about us. That's a test of our own heart. It's a revealer of our heart. Because your word gives life. It's living water when your Spirit brings its meaning home to our heart. And that's what we need today. We need that heart towards you that only comes from your Spirit so that we can desire you and not overvalue our own view of what freedom means. Because when we pursue our autonomy, we actually come into captivity. And when we pursue your grace and to live in submission to your word and your Spirit is when we are most free. Free from sin and free to be your people. Free to love you back. We see for the first time. Our eyes are opened. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done. I pray that your Spirit would just revive our hearts, that we would sense that wind of refreshing, of grace, of your great love for us. And that if that light that you desire to give shines on something in our attitudes, our hearts, actions of our lives that we know is not of you, is not your perfect will for us, that we would be quick to relinquish our pride and the grip that we have on those things, and that we'd know your freedom. The leash can't give us a new heart. Only you can do that. And I thank you that you desire to do just that this morning with much zeal and joy and grace. You are good. And we love you. We believe. Lord, help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.